You're in the zone.
Nonstop. Right hand, left hand, nonstop, Josh.
With Jason Anderson.
At the time, it is the only thing I want to do.
Yeah.
The next day, I 100% regret it every time.
Yeah.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Josh Briscoe, Mick Schaefer, Beards. We head up until 2 o'clock. The Open Season Sportsman's Expo going on today, tomorrow, and in Sunday. Overland Park Convention Center, where we are located. $15 entry for adults, kids 12 and under, free admission, and parking is free. The Overland Park Convention Center. But if you want to save $5 on your ticket, adult ticket, for this event, one of the days this weekend, OpenSeasonSportsmansExpo.com. You can even Google that, and the website pops up, OpenSeasonSportsmansExpo.com. Use promo code SR810, and you can save $5 on an adult ticket to the Open Season Sportsman's Expo at the Overland Park Convention Center. The Big 12 tournament continues tonight with semifinal action. We do know that the Iowa State pep rally is at 4:20. So that much has been confirmed.
Wait a second. I thought they were all about beer. This is the thing here. I don't remember Iowa's whole deal, but there's gonna be a cyclone of something.
That's right. That's right.
Everybody's about marijuana.
I thought you were talking about basketball. Like they, you know what? They're going to be high on life. They're getting ready for this. See if their seed can go a little bit higher. You beat KU. You know, you're feeling a little bit better about yourself. Maybe the selection committee. You know,
you don't really want the seeds, Jason. Or the stems, for that matter.
Well, then, how many weeds do you get before you have to worry about seeds? Is there like a seed to weed ratio, or?
I want to smoke some seed. Here live with Mick Schaefer, KSHB 41, here in the zone. Hey, Mick.
What's going on?
Is that what we call this, panic room?
I'm looking for the little boy from Panic Room.
Remember, he was in
Twilight after that.
We're in the McFadden Studio / Rec Center, is what I'm calling it, because we've really made this space work for us.
So 3:50 is when KU Pep Rally looks like coming on today. And Josh will be on the stage, whether you like it or not. So he is practicing right now on radio to do his on-stage work, apparently.
Josh was really good on the stage yesterday. I was watching from my perch.
What was your assessment?
Yeah.
I critiqued and I judged. he was hosting one of the hosts for the pretzel dog eating contest, is that right?
Pretzel bites. No dogs, just pretzel bites.
Okay.
Yeah.
From a distance, it looked like there might be wieners in them.
But there are wieners all over, but
small
not pretzels.
Little pretzels. And so it was fun watching. I was hungry at the time. I was like, I wish I was down there, part of that. I would get a free t-shirt and just get to eat a lot of pretzel dogs. Yeah. They did an odd way of counting, right? Instead of counting, everybody was assigned to a person, right?
That was my understanding.
And you counted just how many dogs went in the mouth.
One contestant, I just counted up to three because she ate three total pretzel bites.
And then afterward, the other three counted like how many are left.
Yeah.
And so they're like, there's 27 left here. There's 23 left here. And I'm like, well, did they start with the same number? And regardless, it would seem like it's easier to count to 3, 4, 5 than it is to count to 23, 24, 25.
Throughout this entire...
And they're touching them all. I'm like, everybody's touching
those,
you know, all 27
afterwards.
Of those you didn't eat. Now I don't want to eat them anymore.
What we could have done is fill the T-shirt cannon with pretzel bites and then just launch that off the stage.
Awesome.
I'm not sure that my microphone worked at any point yesterday, the one that I was occasionally handed. So we're going to see today kind of where that ends up. I'll be on stage. I might not be audible.
I remember at one point, like, you were holding up three.
Yeah, I was just
and they said
up.
There were three left?
No.
That's how many she ate.
Yeah,
three.
You can see there's a big pile.
Why are we going backwards here? Just count the number that went in the mouth.
I feel like that thing was well planned out.
You know, a lot of moving parts when you're...
Yeah.
Trying to entertain a nation, Jason, and
you know what? The Cyclone Nation, Jayhawk Nation—they'll be down there today, and then there'll be some Texas fans, TCU fans. We'll be there too. So should be a lot of fun. And that first game tonight will be an incredible atmosphere. That's going to be a fun one. I don't know how good the atmosphere is going to be for Texas and TCU. because if you lose that game, the first game, you probably want to go and drink your sorrows somewhere else. If you win it, you might want to go and celebrate across the street from T-Mobile Center. So, yeah, you can stay around and watch the opponent you're going to be playing the next night, but you can watch them on TV while enjoying some libations after the game. So I'm not sure what the atmosphere will be like for the second game, but the first one should be dynamite tonight. It'll feel like a championship game almost with those two fan bases fighting over who's going to get in, how many of a particular fan base are going to find themselves inside the arena tonight with Iowa State and KU. I do wonder how many actual like Texas or Texas Tech fans will be there because of the tickets with Kansas and Iowa State, and how many fans will be there from that.
Yeah.
How many will be left over that will actually be rooting for Texas or TCU.
How about being an Oklahoma State fan right now, Jason? First of all, the women just won on a buzzer beater.
Oh, really?
Oh, it was awesome. They ended the game on an 18-6 run to beat West Virginia. They needed the final two. It was 61-60. I can't remember the player, but it was inside. She put it up off the glass. It hangs on the rim for like the final second. The buzzer sounds. The ball drops. The place goes nuts.
Amazing.
So that's cool. But on the mid side, like Joe Lenardi's like, Oklahoma State's in. They are in. They are in. They are the last team in. I'm like, well, okay. Well, I mean, how good are you, Joe? I mean, that's to me, that's, I don't know how confident I am that they're in for sure as the last team. So it's going to be, some sleepless nights here for O State fans leading into Sunday.
We talked about that yesterday, like the game on Wednesday night with Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. Like, I 10 times they must have mentioned, if Oklahoma State wins this game,
over
they are
over.
In the tournament. They are in the tournament. Like, do you have a direct line to the committee? Like,
Joe Lenardi's. Right, yeah. Lenardi who's saying it.
Yeah. But, like, they said
it
as if it was like a fact.
It worked for cheering for the OSUs that night.
that's right. Yes, it did. Wisconsin lost and Oklahoma State won. And
was it Arizona State, right? Did they lose to Oregon State?
Arizona State won that game, I believe.
They won that. But Ohio State came through maybe a little too much because they beat Iowa then after that.
Penn State winning last night didn't help.
Did not help. It's going to be tenuous. Hopefully the committee's just kind of like looking at that win on paper and not watching the Oklahoma State game or watching the loss against Texas because that is a team that plays hard and plays good defense, but they are offensively challenged.
Yeah.
It is offensive sometimes watching them play offense.
They are offensively challenged. That happens. And you know what? TCU was a 3-point offensively challenged until last night, and then they went crazy.
How crazy is that? I feel like Jerome Tang had a great game plan for TCU. I mean, they took away the fast break points, right? Yep. But they have 7 total. And I think the plan was, okay, Desi, Sills, you're our fastest guy. Sprint down there and hammer them at the rim. And he did. Two of those 4 blocks in the first half were fouls that just didn't get called. And good for K-State. It worked out on the fast break side. But then, like, oh, wait, this crappy 3-point shooting team is like 11 for 20 from 3-point range. That's nice.
Too many open shots, too. I mean, too many wide open shots.
That's what happens on second chance points, right? On rebounds, right? You got guys crashing the boards. The offensive team gets the rebound. All of a sudden, those guys outside are open, and it's a different deal. You know, I mean, anybody that's played basketball, catching a pass from the interior to shoot a three,
it's great.
I mean, you're already lined up with the rim, as opposed to catching it on the perimeter where you're turning from catching the ball and then trying to find the rim. Catching it from the inside, I mean, your 3-point percentage has got to go up 10 points. There
yep,
and it went up more than that for TCU last night.
When you're set, that driving kick comes out to you. It's beautiful rhythm. Knock it down. And guess what? Division I athletes, even as a team that's shooting 30% on the season and ranked 344th in the country, open threes typically fall for Division I athletes that play in the Power 5, Power 6 conference. So a lot of times when you see a percentage of a player throughout the season, it's like, yeah, they took some 4 shots. Miles wasn't perfect from the 3-point line last night. There were a couple when he had a step back 3 and it missed.
But he had a wide open three that he buried, because that's typically what happens on that 3-point line. And K-State's been really good in 3-point percentage defense, and John Gassaway didn't really believe in it and said, you know, if they keep doing that, then yeah, they can make a run. He just doesn't believe that that's sustainable, that that's a game in, game out, that you're like, oh, they're really good at limiting the other team from shooting threes, because it takes O'Bannon, who's not a good shooter, and he as and the way he shoots it makes it look like he shouldn't be a good shooter either from deep. And he starts hitting shots, and then he does a step back, like a dribble step back, hits the three. I'm like, all right, it's not.
Well, that was an NBA, that was an NBA move, but an AKA travel there. But I still have nightmares over his family from 1985, his dad and his uncle, or 95 rather, beating Oklahoma State in the game. And what, that was Missouri, right?
Missouri, UCLA.
Of course, it wasn't an O'Bannon that all the Mizzou fans.
No, no, O'Bannon played there, okay? Okay, he played on that team.
Yes,
it was more than one player on the court for UCLA.
Yes.
There was more than
you'd have, you know, not the way you tell it. Just one guy against five. Derek Grimm. But yet, I think in the tournament, K-State is going to be a total, like, matchup type team, to where, like, if they go up against a team that prides itself on defense, denying passing lanes, right, fronting the post, you know, all about, you know, low scoring games, I think it could be a problem for them, just because the turnovers, they've been an issue all season long. And right, they're still an issue, to where, like, if they play an up and down team, a team that's, you know, maybe, you know, more like them, that's looking to fill it up and score, I like K-State's chances. It's just can they tamp down those turnovers, not commit, what was it, 20 or whatever it was last night.
Last two games, 20 against West Virginia and then 20 last night against TCU. I mean, they had a stretch where they had 12 turnovers over, like, I think it was 60 minutes of play, so a game and a half. They had 12 total turnovers, and the last two games they've got 40.
Well, who they played? I mean, they played West Virginia, right? Yeah. I mean, they will never not be about defense. And then a TCU team, which is very good at it as well.
Sometimes.
It's what Jamie Dixon, thrives on. But I think, I mean, shoot, night in, night out, KU, Oklahoma State, there's probably more teams that have a defensive identity, or as many in the Big 12 that don't. So I just really look at the matchups for K-State in this tournament. I think you'll be able to kind of maybe forecast better what they're going to do.
Beards, let's play Jerome Tang, the clip with him talking about the lessons from last night's game and this quick exit in the Big 12 tournament, lessons that they will take as they head to the NCAA tournament.
As a staff, we've battled back and forth with how much is doing too much and, you know, not enough. And this is a group of guys that you just can't tell them. They need reps. And so that's the lesson we learn basketball-wise. Life-wise, man, that, like, nothing's promised, right? Like, I mean, just because you beat a team before doesn't mean you're going to be the game. Like, it takes effort. You have to give a certain amount of effort in order to make anything work, whether it's your marriage, you know, your relationship with your children, whatever it is, you have to give a certain amount of effort. And tonight we didn't give enough effort to win a basketball game. And hopefully the guys walk away and realize that, you know, it takes a greater effort when there's a greater challenge. And I don't think we quit, but I do believe that they paused us, and that's something as a staff we have to figure out how to make sure that doesn't happen.
Look, people talk about, like, is a win good for you, or is it good to be humbled before the NCAA tournament? I don't know that I believe in the, you know, a loss, not a win, but a loss is good for you. I don't know that I believe in that, really. But I would say that if Jerome Tang felt like he didn't have the energy from his team in a tournament setting, in a lose-and-go-home tournament setting, that, you know, they didn't really quit, but TCU made him pause in that game, then, yeah, I think there's probably some good that you can take away from that game. And I would imagine the way that the players were responding after the game and at the podium as well, and disappointed and mad and upset, that, you know, if there is a positive to take away from last night, it would be that I can't imagine that game number one, if they're a 3-seed or a 4-seed in the NCAA tournament next Thursday or Friday, I don't know what Denver, if Denver's a Thursday, Saturday, or Friday, Sunday, that I would guess that the Wildcats are come out with a lot of energy And they won't play a game where Jerome Tang says, yeah, I don't know why the energy and the effort wasn't there in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. Where do you think they're at? Do you think they're at a four now?
I think they're at a three still, depending on what happens with some of these teams that are right around where they are. So,
see, I'm with you. I thought, okay, they're maybe the top. You know, the latest one came out. I think they're the top three, right? And a couple wins, maybe just one, can get them to that two line. But I was talking to like some K-State, like, you know, athletic department members, thinking like, okay, we're three or four is what they were thinking, right? They're like, they weren't. You know, like maybe okay, we win it all. We get to the two line. I was you know further ahead of them on that, but maybe they know more than us. But I'm kind of with you. I think they can still be on that three line.
Yeah, the Marquette win in overtime wasn't great for K-State, so they advance and get a chance to play against UConn. UConn's right around K-State as well, so whoever wins that game, you would guess then would be above K-State. So then you slide back a little bit. Arizona's right around there. I'm trying to think of the other teams that are sort of in that mix with K-State for a three seed or a four seed, because I mean that's a real difference in line, right? I mean. You play a 6 seed and a 2 seed in the Sweet 16, or you play a 5 and then a 1 seed in the Sweet 16. It's a pretty big difference. And so there might be some scoreboard watching. I think bracket matrix, Tennessee is right behind Kansas State.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, might want to be Mizzou fans today if you're K-State wanting a 3 seed, because then Tennessee wouldn't get a quad one win and a neutral site against top 50. That would certainly, you would think, advance them above K-State. Indiana plays Maryland tonight. Indiana's on the four line. If they beat Maryland tonight, then, you know, that's another win for them and another opportunity to play tomorrow to get another win that you would expect that they may pass them as well. So it was a tough loss for K-State last night for the tournament. So, yeah, I thought they were a three seed. I think they're probably still a three seed. But again, there are teams around them that are that have opportunities to leapfrog them.
Are there any? If you're really any Big 12 team in the tournament, are there any one seeds that you're just frightened of? I mean, this isn't one of those years where like, oh, we got an undefeated Gonzaga team that's just dynamic, right? With a you know lottery pick point guard or a you know big guy that nobody can stop, or there's this unbelievable Duke team. I don't think. I mean, does Houston scare you or? UCLA, I mean, if you're K-State, I mean, and to your point, yeah, usually there's a big difference between that three. A lot of times, sometimes you'd rather be a six than a four. It's like you'd rather be a 10 than an eight, because you avoid that one seed. But I don't know if there's anybody that really scares you this year. Alabama, I don't know. I mean, they've looked good so far this tournament, but I mean, Oklahoma, you know, took care of them. I just think this is one of those years that you're like, okay, you know, we got whoever it is. If it's a, you know, it's a West Virginia or a, you know, TCU on the 8-9 line, or I guess it'd probably be better than that. But somebody there, okay, we're gonna play a one seed in UCLA. Okay, no big deal. Let's go. This is one of those years. There's, you know, even KU, right? Does KU scare any of those Big 12 teams? I don't think they do.
And like Alabama can be scary when they're playing at a level that they played at some point this year. They have not been playing at that level over the last couple of weeks, although today they are thumping Mississippi State up by 21 with 15 minutes to go in the second half. So they are taking care of business there. And the concern with Houston is that they just have so many players on the floor that can score. Like, I mean, I think they've got six guys there that have all had like multiple 20-point games this year for Houston. Now, the flip side would be, okay, competition. If you've got high-level players that are playing against Tulane and, you know, some teams like that, well, I would hope that somebody out there could drop 20 points from time to time. How tested are they when you've got, you know, Memphis as the main other team that they would play throughout conference season? Purdue looked like, you know, world beaters for a while and then sort of struggled at different times, and I believe they won today. In the Big Ten. I think they took care of Rutgers already did Purdue. So, you know, they're probably going to be a one seed. So, I mean, Zach Edey scares you because, you know, do you have somebody that can guard 7'2", 300? You know, I mean, that's tough to do. So there are some teams certainly there. UCLA loses Jalen Clark. You know, Kansas there, but the Big 12 teams won't be playing Kansas in the second round. So really you're looking at Kansas, Houston, and Purdue as the other one. So if you're an 8-9 seed, yeah, I mean, this isn't a year to where you would go, well, you don't want to be in that bracket because you're toast.
I don't know if there's anybody I'm just going to automatically pencil in to the to the Final Four. Along those lines, are you guys doing an 8-10 player draft? And can I be invited for once?
We are, and
I don't even need a draft. I could just go there. I could serve you appetizers. I could bring pretzel bites, wieners in, wieners out, whatever. And then maybe one of you guys goes to the bathroom, and I make your like eighth round pick or something like that.
I would I would give a Saran. I believe he might be hosting something like that on Monday night. So he may want
on Monday night. He knows all the details, doesn't he, Josh? Josh, are you going to? Josh can't even make eye contact with me right now.
Gosh. I
left out.
Look, all the action I need is at 810whb.com/brackets.
Yeah,
I think that's the URL. Let me double check.
That's or you just go to 810whb.com and then click on the link that'll take you right there to what you need anyway. So,
810whb.com/brackets.
Well done. You know, it's brought to you by Twin Peaks, Robert Brogdon, Buick GMC, and Olathe Kia, Smoke and Fire, and also Hy-Vee. Okay, let's play this game real quick. You guys.
What, bounce the ball in the lampshade?
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Take a shot. And different action.
Game. Nope. You're not doing that game. You're not doing that game. You already did it. All right. So one at a time. Who's up first to guess the Oscars or free agent?
I want to be up first, second, and third. I love this.
Yeah, I'm ready.
So this isn't like an Oscar movie. This is like a person nominated for like lighting or something like that.
Yep, a person that is nominated for an Oscar this weekend or a person that is actually a free agent right now that played against the Chiefs this year.
Beyond actors? Are we like doing film editing and stuff like that, photography, or is it
like,
all actors?
Like screenplay, adapted, score. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we're doing all of that stuff, all right?
And then we're also trainers.
And this is free agent NFL.
What are we doing? Free agent NFL players that played this year against the Chiefs. That played in the game.
You remember the game I used to play on Saturday? It was
Mixed childhood friend.
Or Philadelphia, like the Phillies would come to town.
Or anything. You're right.
Philadelphia,
right.
Phillies. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and add in some mixed childhood friends to this one too. You'll have an advantage.
We can do that. All right, Mick, you were up first. Let's go. You tell me who the Oscar nominee is. These two names, T.J. Edwards or Justin Marks.
Okay, so you're not just giving me a name; I pick one or the other. You're giving me two names, and
One of them is up for an Oscar. One of them is a free agent.
What are the two names? T.J. Edwards and what?
T.J. Edwards and Justin Marks.
So Justin Marks is up for an Oscar.
That is correct. Justin Marks is up for adapted screenplay for a Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah, no, I really loved his screenplay for that.
Yeah, and T.J. Edwards is a linebacker for the Eagles that is a free agent right now. So well done.
He's just in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yes. Okay, so now Josh is up.
Ready.
Okay, Josh, we got Austin Butler and Justin Pugh.
Austin Butler's—he was Elvis,
yes.
So that's the Oscar.
Yes.
Damn it! Yes,
layup line.
I'm too cultured, Dan. I'm too cultured for this.
Did you think he's that bad at movies? I would have thought
that
too.
I don't know. I don't know if he was bad at movies.
I'm surprised he knows who Elvis is.
For that question, that's Jason, I'd just like to say thank you very much. Thought about doing an impression. Thought it'd be funnier if I did.
No, thank you. Thank you very much.
Christian Covington or Tony Kushner?
Is it my turn?
Your turn, Mick.
I get the tough ones, okay. Who are they?
Christian Covington, Tony Kushner.
The Kush? Okay.
The Kush.
Kush Kushner.
I got Kush Lash.
Kush is up for an Oscar.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm absolutely sure.
He is up for an Oscar for the Fableman's Best Original Screenplay.
Well,
and Christian Covington, a defensive tackle for the Chargers.
As I say, I'm pretty sure I heard of Covington.
The problem is finding free agents that the Chiefs played against. You know, it's like I wanted to make it a little bit easier, but probably should not have made it easier. Maybe for Josh I should have made it a little bit tougher. All right, I'm not going to give you actors, apparently, okay? I don't want to do that.
No, okay, all right, that's fine.
Yeah, no, I'm not gonna do that.
I knew Christian Covington. So.
Oh, did you? Oh, you're so smart.
I'm so smart.
Okay, so Gabe Jackson and Todd Field.
Gabe Jackson is a football player, so Todd Field is up for an Oscar.
Damn it.
Woo!
It's easy. It's 2-2.
Hey, maybe you should play this game with geniuses. Huh, Jason? You thought about that?
You ever thought about that, Stan, huh?
Maybe you should have played it with Seren and Curtis instead of people who know sports like us.
I don't know. I mean, who knows? That might be the Oscar. The problem is you guys are so well-versed when it comes to the Oscars. That's the issue.
That's it.
You can just...
big cinephiles.
You can just guess from there. All right, so who's up? Is it...
Mick. Back to Mick.
Mick. Anthony Walk... excuse me. Anthony Walker or Ed Berger?
Ed Berger is up for an Oscar.
Actually, he is up for an Oscar.
Yeah. Ah! Yeah, to say.
Anthony Walker, a linebacker in the NFL. We go to, I guess, that would be Briscoe trailing 3-2.
Just
all right, Josh.
No pressure. I don't feel pressure.
Ryan Johnson and Coleman Shelton.
It's like
Ryan Johnson's a director. So he's going to get up for an Oscar. R-I-A-N? Can you spell Ryan for me, Jason?
No.
No.
It's Ryan Johnson and who?
Coleman Shelton.
Coleman Shelton sounds like a defensive lineman, so I'm going to stick with my original guess.
You are wrong. Coleman Shelton is a center.
Okay, but I'm right. Trenches. It sounded like a guy in the trenches
to me. 0.2 points away from him there, okay? Tried to show up. Although, he does have his computer up right now. I don't know what he's looking at.
I think just Google Ryan Johnson. See what it is. Is he nominated for Glass Onion? You probably don't know. That's okay.
He is nominated for Glass Onion. That's right. Best adapted screenplay. For Glass Onion, that is correct.
I'm closing my laptop because I don't want any.
That was it was a good movie. The ending was like, okay.
It wasn't as good as Knives Out. I feel like that's an okay.
I rewatched Knives Out the other day. It's still great.
Knives Out rules.
So yeah, I was doing the guessing game with all of them, and then it was like I don't want to give it away, but like the who it was, the killer was like, yeah, duh.
It was like, oh yeah, that's kind of what I expected. Right? Yeah, kinda, all right.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
All right, Mick Schaefer, we've got Bill Nighy and Nate Herbig.
The science guy? Is he up for an Oscar? Say those names again.
Bill Nighy and Nate Herbig.
How do you you can't spell.
I got to spell.
Well, I'm gonna go ahead and say that Bill Nighy is up for an Oscar.
You guys are really good at guessing. He is up for an Oscar for the movie Living that I have no idea what it's even about.
He's a decently well-known actor.
Yeah, he's been around.
The science guy?
Was he?
That's
it's N-I-G-H-Y.
Oh,
was
okay,
he
not him.
Yep.
Beards, what do you know?
That was a guess.
I know him from the Underworld movies.
Oh, okay.
All right.
At least that's the first point of reference I have for him.
All right. So Patrick Mahomes or Tom Cruise?
Four to three.
Orlando Brown or Tom Cruise?
Last one, and then we'll get to nicknames or movies.
He was in Pirates of the Caribbean. That's what I was going to say. Was he a Pirate? Was he Davy Jones?
No, that's one of the Skarsgårds, I think.
He was Davy Jones.
Dang it.
Tough my shorts. Stellan Skarsgård was Bootstrap Bill.
Was his dad. That's right. Never mind.
Let me see. Nighy.
Skarsgård was Bootstrap Bill.
Yeah.
This is Bill Nighy.
Dang it.
All right.
Hit me.
David Edwards, Daniel Scheinert.
Oh, yeah. I've seen him.
What was the second one?
Daniel Scheinert.
I think Daniel Schneider? It doesn't matter.
Schneider.
The first one I think is a football player that I think I've heard his name on a podcast before. So I'm going to say Dan, the second one, is an actor. Or is it up for an Oscar?
That's right. David Edwards is the guard for the Rams. All right. You guys were terrible at that. You guys were 4 for 4.
Let's do it again. Let's do it again on Monday, but let's let me and Mick buzz in, maybe. We could make go like head to head.
Yeah, you could do that. All right. So one apiece now. Question apiece. This is an NFL nickname or a movie that is up for an Oscar in some way, shape, or form.
Oh, damn. Okay, hold on. Say that again.
Is it my turn, or are we just buzzing in?
An NFL free agent nickname or an actual movie.
Love this. Okay. One at a time? Still? Same format?
One at a time.
Okay.
Or you guys can buzz in if you want to.
No. Go ahead, Nick. This is a good, this is a new one. I don't know how we're going to be at this.
Okay. GQ.
Nickname.
For who?
Gerald Quintarius. I don't know.
Almost. Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy GQ. GQ.
Wow,
Jimmy Garoppolo. That is correct. All right, Josh. Bardo.
Oh, no. Bardo?
Bardo.
I'm going to say it's a nickname.
Best cinematography. Bardo.
Oh. Wow. Yep.
It's probably, is it here we go. Foreign film?
Yeah, sounds
best
animated
cinematography. All right, and last one, you guys have to buzz in on this one. You got to tell me if this is a nickname or a movie.
Okay,
you have to say your names and buzz in. Black Panther, Wakanda Forever.
I'm going to say movie on that.
No, that's actually Chris Jones' nickname after the combine.
Oh, nice. I lost. You win, Josh.
I'm not thrilled with choking at the end there, but it's a good game. I think we asserted ourselves well and showed ourselves off as well-rounded individuals.
What would you guys guess for nickname or movie, Puna?
A what now?
Is it Puna Ford?
Yeah, it's Puna
Ford.
Well done.
I don't know who he plays for, what position he plays, but I've got Puna Ford somewhere in my brain.
He's a defensive tackle. He's actually somebody Matt Lane wrote about at
Maybe that's his nickname, or is that his real name?
No, his nickname is Puna Ford. His real name is like four different first names.
Okay.
And then Ford. What about Chosen?
Movie. No, that's a nickname.
Well, for LeBron.
Robbie Anderson.
He gave himself.
Chosen Robbie Anderson. Yeah, I don't know if it's a nickname. I think that might be legally his name now, right?
It was a nickname, and then he changed it legally.
Got it. About, okay.
What about Puss in Boots?
That's an Oscar-winning film.
Nope, that's Justin Herbert.
Damn. Damn, that's actually the anyone who gets treatment for the Chargers training staff ends up in Boots.
What about Quadzilla?
Quadzilla is a nickname for a running back. I can't remember who.
Saquon?
I think that's right.
There you go. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back, and we'll look ahead to some games coming up today, and also tell you a little bit more about the FanFest Hoop Central. And we got a little bit of look ahead to the weekend, get you set for the weekend's worth of games, and also Selection Sunday coming up on Sunday. We'll take a timeout. More Zone next.
Mick Schaefer in the Zone is brought to you by Atomic Cowboy Sports Saloon, home of the two-story biscuit sandwiches from Denver Biscuit Company all morning, New York-style hand-tossed pizza all afternoon and evening from Fat Soli's, and 20 beers on tap all the time. Experience it today at 42nd and Pennsylvania in Westport.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Rest your mind, enjoy some time with the family, get that groin ready to go.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you. We are hanging out at the Overland Park Convention Center. Open season Sportsman's Expo going on today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Doors opening up at 2 o'clock, about 20 minutes from now. Doors will open all these different exhibits here and anything you could possibly want. If you are an outdoor enthusiast, products, gear, equipment, also you can bring your buck in for scoring. You can do that here. You can get $5 off tickets if you go to the website. That website is OpenSeasonSportsmansExpo.com. Go to the website and put in promo code SR810, SR810. You save $5 on an adult ticket. Adult ticket's $15. You get it for $10. Put in the code SR810. Kids 12 and under, free admission, and it is free parking at the Overland Park Convention Center. The boys are at McFadden Studio. The Miller Lite Fan Fest at Hoops Central at Power and Light. I believe I got that correct in the right order.
In the KC Live block, I think.
Oh,
yeah,
darn
I mean,
it.
You know,
within
across the street
Jackson
from T-Mobile
County.
Center. In Jackson County, Kansas City, Missouri. I don't know the zip code
US,
we're at right now, but
country in the
probably
world.
Probably starts with a six.
Probably a six. I'd be pretty confident it starts with a six.
Yes.
And we know, in fact, that there's going to be some great action just across the street from us. So it might be easy for you to tell us, Jason, who's going to raise the roof this weekend. Because I think the weekend for us starts at 2 o'clock. And that's always brought to you by Shamrock Roofing and Construction, Kansas City's local residential and commercial roofing contractors. One call does it all. Who's raising the roof for you, Jason?
I think it's going to be Texas. I think Texas, I picked them before the tournament started. I think they'll be in the championship game tomorrow because I'm already picturing, guys, TCU coming out and going 1-for-15 from three tonight. I mean, and K-State fans going, of course. Of freaking course. They're not hitting anything. I think Texas finds a way to cut down the nets tomorrow. It'll be a road game for them tomorrow versus either Kansas or Iowa State. Either Texas or TCU will be playing a road game tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think KU beats TCU, but I think Texas beats KU on Saturday night. So I think Texas will be raising the roof, and Alabama will be raising the roof on Sunday down in Nashville. So
you guys,
we'll see what happens. Who's raising the roof for you guys?
What do you like, Nick? Who do you like at the tournament?
I will say this. I like
Eric Bienenmuth,
speaking of
the studio.
Texas. I think that Texas women are going to win the women's tournament, and the head coach, their head coach, is going to raise the roof. Do you know his name? Big 12 coach of the year for Texas.
Big 12 coach of the year for Texas.
Texas women.
I don't know that I do.
His name's Vic Schaefer.
Is that right?
Shut up,
Vic Schaefer.
Vic Schaefer, spelled the same way?
No,
different spelling.
Yeah. Sounds the same way.
Sounds
though.
The same. Almost more insulting. They didn't even spell your last name.
Well, he
name
was at Mississippi State forever. It's been a power program there. Then he moved over to Texas.
And, you like Texas raised the roof in both tourneys then, Mick?
I'm going to throw out to my Oklahoma State coach, J.C. Hoyt, who was at Kansas City. She was the Ruse coach for several years. Now she's at Oklahoma State. She came on our show last night, got to interview her. She should have been coach of the year. They were picked ninth in the conference. They finished fourth, got the buzzer beater today. So either one of them, JC or Vic Schaefer, raising the roof.
I'm happy to root for Schaefer. I'm happy to root for just your general happiness, Mick. And at this point, Mick Schaefer's happiness is brought to you by Shamrock Roofing Construction, where one call does it all. Hopefully that one call gets the Oklahoma State women across the finish line in this journey.
Is Vic Schaefer your porn name?
No, I do something a little more discreet.
Oh, okay.
Anything else that Mick rhymes with that could be used
my
in a pornographic name?
It's your first. It's your first pet and the street you grew up on. Duke Boyd.
Duke Boyd is so. That's Ron Swanson's character in Parks and Rec, right? Duke Boyd.
Duke Boyd.
Mine would be Apollo Ridgeview.
Yeah, boys.
Yeah, here we go.
I don't think Gizmo Manchester's getting it done.
Gizmo Manchester.
Go by Gizzy, I guess. I don't know, man. That's rough for me. I don't.
It's tough.
Finally, a reason not
it's
to
tough
get
it. If you grow up on like 98th Street.
Yeah,
too.
I think I skipped ahead to the first street name that wasn't
Missy 98th Street.
Yeah. I thought about doing it with my current street and then thought better of it. So
Drake has told me his would be Honey Ravine.
Yeah, boys.
Oh, my
here we go.
Goodness.
Duke Boyd, Duke Boyd is mine, and I don't think you can, like, just, with all the words in the world, come up with a better porn name than Duke Boyd.
Honey Ravine and Duke Boyd is a hell of a combo. Beards, what's your combo here?
Joshua Briscoe.
I don't think
it's a weird name for a dog, but
you didn't grow up on Briscoe
cool.
Street.
Yeah. It's no, with an E, though, so our SEO is different, so it's cool.
Briscoe Terrace, actually, Jason. That's what I grew up on. All right, so we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll get the cuts coming up next, heading in and sending you off into the weekend with some fun basketball going on. We'll take a timeout, hanging out at the Open Season Sportsman's Expo. More Zone next.
Mick Schaefer is brought to you by Atomic Cowboy Sports Saloon. As seen on Food Network, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and Man vs. Food, try it today at 42nd and Pennsylvania in Westport.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Very disappointed. I wanted to play like 30 more cuts.
Should have broke.
Were you hiding them somewhere?
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, hanging out at the Overland Park Convention Center. Open Season Sportsman's Expo is going on here at the Overland Park Convention Center. $15 tickets, but if you go online to OpenSeasonSportsmansExpo.com and put in code SR810, SR810, you get $5 off. So that ticket is now $10. Kids 12 and under are free admission and free parking at the Overland Park Convention Center. The boys are there at McFadden's getting ready for the Miller Lite Fan Fest Hoop Central at KC Live Power and Light. That goes on today around 4 o'clock, maybe a little bit before that. The pep rallies get rolling. Josh Briscoe will be on stage, and a lot of fun will be had there as well. All right, Beards, before we head off into the weekend, let's go ahead and get the cuts rolling.
Mike or Kevin McCarthy? You tell me who said this. Did Mike McCarthy or Kevin McCarthy say this?
Both of them sound like they're going pretty conservative.
I've been where...
Boom! Ba, ba, ba!
Yeah, I said Kevin McCarthy, and I just... I thought I was right, rather than Mike McCarthy. What's up next, Beards?
Cool. Two friends that have one's got a huge long one, and one's got the regular size one. Yeah. The great big long was too much. Too much.
Wow. I don't even know what Lebo was talking about. I do know what Lebo was talking about, but I don't know that I want to tell anybody what Lebo was talking about, because it's absolutely true. Keep
Give
going.
To yourself.
I'm on Letterman, not at the game.
Okay, sorry. You're at right. No, sorry. But yeah. You're there for the game.
Not for the game. We were just there to see Letterman. Are you? You don't pay attention to any of my stories, do you?
And we just get to cap it off with a nice little cherry, sweet taste in Mick Schaefer.
Feeling sweet today, Mick?
Oh, there. I'll bring some.
All right, Wayne White's going to spin a couple pitches your way.
Oh, so bad.
That's the worst one, Jason.
Wayne White.
All right, Wayne White's going to spin a couple pitches your way.
All day. All right, what else? You.
Typically, I'm perfectly fine with oral, even if it's Robert.
Look, Oral Roberts, they're in the tournament. Good for them. You know,
typically, I'm perfectly fine with oral, even if it's Robert.
And Hershiser. All right. Open Season Sportsman's Expo here at the Overland Park Convention Center today, tomorrow, and Sunday. And the boys down at McFadden's. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Mick.
You're welcome. Been a pleasure.
Yeah.
We're indoctrinating Curtis and Sarandon to the racquetball game.
Oh, I bet it's a blast.
Hold on to your butts.